Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special episode of Japan Top 10. My name is Eric.
And I'm Aaron.
And we are very happy to bring you the third installment in the Japan Top 10 Cultures episode line.
Woo! Japan Top 10.
Now, this series of episodes features a broadly cultural-based Japanese theme in which we, as your guides, will revolve a discussion based around that particular theme, continuing with our mission of providing educational, entertaining, and hopefully insightful information to all of you listeners. We are going to feature some music around that theme, but these episodes in particular will be a little different as we're going to be focusing more on commentary rather than our usual format of just covering music. However, we will be continuing to feature some music in these episodes to help round it out, so it's not just us jibber-jabbing this whole way through.
We won't be replacing any of our current episode lineups with Just Cultures episodes, so if you have any questions about these episodes specifically, please feel free to ask us any questions and we'll let you know. However, this episode itself will be exclusively released for our Patreon donors at this time as a bonus episode for our Listener Appreciation Month. All other listeners will be hearing this episode months later, possibly in the month of May. And stay tuned, if you haven't heard yet, we are giving away a free 10,000 Japanese yen iTunes gift card. As a current Patreon donor, you'll also be getting additional entries to win. So Eric will be giving you guys a little bit more information about that later on.
This time we are going to be focusing our attention on Japanese food, from ramen to pocket money dagashi.
Dagashi?
You say tomato, I say dagashi. Delicious and unusual restaurants, including the rise of themed cafes and YouTube channels, Japan has become famous for many different types of edible treats. And what's the first one we're going to be talking about today, Aaron?
We're going to be talking about many people's favorite ramen.
Ooh, my favorite in particular.
Me as well. When you think of Japanese savory foods, you'll think sushi, sashimi probably, tempura, onigiri, but of course, you'll always think of ramen. So, starting with this lovely classic, this is a very traditional Japanese food, and it is full of lovely umami flavors.
Is that the sixth taste on the, right? It's just the taste of savoriness?
Yeah, it's like enhanced savoriness.
And it's savoriness to the nth degree.
Yeah, you could call it that.
Now, do you remember what your first Japanese dish you ever tasted was?
I know that teriyaki isn't a Japanese flavor, but the first time I ever went to a Japanese restaurant here in Toronto, I had a beef teriyaki bento box. That was great, but I guess the most authentic piece of food in that box was shrimp tempura, and it was phenomenal.
You got shrimp tempura plus beef teriyaki?
Yeah, I did.
Is this place called Heaven in Toronto? Can we get... That's amazing. I think I remember mine was tonkatsu. It's just fried pork cutlet with like this insanely thick Worcestershire sauce on top. It's just amazing.
Absolutely beautiful.
Now, do you have a preference on noodles like ramen, or do you prefer soba, udon, or do you just stick to rice?
I love all of the above. I love all kinds of noodles, and I gotta love my rice. But I think more specifically when it comes to ramen noodles, I'm a stickler for thin noodles in ramen itself. Like, I love me some soba noodles. I love how thick the udon noodles are. But I think for ramen broth, the thin noodles are the best ones.
Well, it's really all, is it all about the broth or is it all about the noodle for you in particular?
I'd say the broth is probably the most important, but the noodles are just a vessel to get the broth into your mouth anyway.
That's fair enough. Do you have a favorite kind of broth? Are you a miso fan or shio?
I like miso broths a lot. I also like tonkatsu broths. Mm. So all those really thick, salty, flavorful broths.
Yeah, absolutely.
My favorite.
When I was more of a meat eater than I am now, I was a big tonkotsu fan. But I recently had a shoyu broth, which is soy sauce based, and it was super, super good. Although it just wasn't, I was like, you know what? This vegetable ramen could really use is some pork. I think that would just really set it off. But, you know, that's just me.
Yeah, I think a good piece of chashu just like brightens up any bowl of ramen.
Now, in Tokyo, there's around 5,000 ramen shops, from the more cheap side, that's about 300 to 600 yen, to Chef Shoichi Fujimaki's ramen, which in 2012 was 10,000 yen a bowl, which is around $100 American. And it was the most expensive in the world until Chef Yuji Wakia, the winner of Japan's Iron Chef in New York City, introduced a $180 bowl in 2016, which was topped with Kobe Wagyu steak, black truffles, and 24-karat gold leaf.
Of course, there's gold leaf in it. There always has to be for this insanely expensive food.
Of course, you like, if I'm going to pay close to $200 for a bowl of noodles, if there's not gold leaf on there, I think I'll just be disappointed by that.
I feel you. I feel like I'd be more disappointed if there wasn't Kobe steak on it.
Now, since this is a super special episode about food, I'm actually going to try a little bit. I'm looking forward to this so much. some special Japanese treats. Can you give us a little background on these wasabi seaweed pieces? I fear if I don't like it, I'm going to make it sound terrible. So let's see.
Well, there's a dried seaweed in Japan that's a very famous snack. It's called nori, and you can have it flavored from basically anything you'd like. It's typical salt, no flavoring at all, so just nori flavor. Or you can have what Eric is about to eat, some nori that is flavored to taste like wasabi.
Woo! Wasabi is a type of horseradish that's found in Japan. You might see it on this side of sushi. It's the stuff that looks like guacamole, but it's really, really not. Now, nori looks a little greenish because it's seaweed. This is toasted, though, so it's a little on the darker side. Since the podcast is an audio medium, you can't really see my discomfort, but let's just see how these wasabi nori pieces taste.
You're gonna have some nori ASMR.
Oh gosh.
Not a fan.
Okay, so nori by itself kind of tastes like the sea, if that makes sense.
Tastes like mermaid toilet paper.
That's exactly what it tastes like. So if you can imagine what potato chips would taste like if potato chips were from the sea instead of the almighty potato, that's kind of what these are like. There's not a lot of there's a little bit of wasabi.
Is it in your nose?
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's not like the kind of spice you get from like a chili pepper or anything where it's just all encompassing in your mouth. Wasabi is kind of more like an acidic sort of heat, but that's really not that bad. But I do get to try another one, which I'm really looking forward to.
Ah, yes. Favorite flavor.
Yes, umeboshi.
Umeboshi, which is a type of Japanese plum.
So looking forward to this one. And it looks almost the same, but I can already tell I'm going to enjoy it a lot less.
Ah, yes. I can't wait for this.
So, いただきます.
Ganbatte.
Okay. Well, you know, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Oh.
But it's still pretty terrible. It's just so salty,
yep,
but weirdly fruity.
Yep. I'm not very fond of that taste either. I find that umeboshi tastes like grass, just salty grass.
Yeah, it's really a weird flavor, and I'm going to have to wash it down with a little cold brew just to hopefully make it through the rest of this episode.
Yep.
Oh, wow, that's rough.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so while I recover from that, Aaron, would you like to introduce the first song that we're going to be playing?
Sure. So for our first song, tying into our lovely little food theme we have here, we have Silent Siren with Tenkai Pin no Theme.
Enjoying our Listener Appreciation Month? Well, don't forget, these are the benefits that all of our Patreon donors enjoy on a regular basis, starting at just a dollar a month. Now, next, we're going to talk a little bit about hibachi or teppanyaki, which is it's more of the unhealthy side of Japanese food, which is more fried and grilled. Do you have a favorite of these Japanese fried and grilled type foods?
I love anything on a teppan, so I love okonomiyaki, and I recently had Kobe beef, and it changed my life, and seeing that on a teppan made me appreciate the beauty that is a teppan grill.
Now, I hear Kobe beef is almost like butter, butter were a meat.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's just beef-flavored butter.
So these are all the best words that I've ever heard put together in one.
Yeah, it's if you are, in fact, a meat lover, it is every meat lover's dream.
Now, I've tried my hand at making certain teppanyaki dishes like okonomiyaki. I don't can't see how quite well I did. It's like a, it's almost like a cabbage pancake.
Mm-hmm.
And it's topped with like some more okonomiyaki sauce, which is almost basically the same side of kind of Worcestershire sauce they use for tonkatsu.
Yes.
But it's also got like mayonnaise on top and some shrimp and all this stuff. And it's like, it's just a mess, but a really delicious one.
A beautiful comfort food. And then you have your katsuoboshi, if you like, as we call them here, bonito flakes on top.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen that. Like, if you ever watch it, when they put it right on top and it's still hot, they kind of dance on top of the okonomiyaki. It's really, if you are a meat eater, it's really appetizing. Now, I've always seen taiyaki, which are those little fish kind of cake things. I've always seen them in anime or and in dramas. I've never actually had them. Have you ever had any experience with those?
Oh yeah. I had a few in Japan, but we actually have a shop here in Koreatown, ironically, in Toronto, that sells taiyaki. And the one, you can get it filled with a lot of different kind of things. In Japan, it's typically just ankle, so red bean. But here you can get it with like custard or like, actually custard's my favorite. So I don't know what else there is because I always get the custard one.
Nothing else exists but the custard.
Yeah, because it's so good.
Now, when you eat your taiyaki, where do you start? The head, the tail, the side?
Yes, the personality quiz question.
We're going to find out a little bit about Aaron right now.
I'm not exactly sure what this means because I forget, but I always start with the face because I don't want it to feel any pain.
Well, that would mean you are optimistic and rather serene, but sometimes you're an aggressive person.
Sounds like me, all right.
Yes, that well-known Canadian aggression that we always hear about.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Now, have you ever had takoyaki?
Mm-hmm. I have had takoyaki. It's also a lovely comfort food. All of these comfort foods like okonomiyaki and takoyaki are from Osaka. And Osaka makes my favorite food, and takoyaki is one of them. It's just it's like a hush puppy. Like, if you're American, what a hush puppy is?
Sure. Oh, I'm American and from the South. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly. So imagine your hush puppy and then just put a piece of octopus inside it.
What, who? Someone put a piece of octopus inside my hush puppy?
Yeah, I'm sorry to tell you this, but it's delicious.
Gosh. All right. Well, I don't have to take your word for it. I've never actually had a tonkatsu or a takoyaki. But every time I play like Yakuza or any of those games like that, there's always a takoyaki stand somewhere in the game. So it's always kind of surrounded my cultural and culinary knowledge of Japan, but I've never actually had one.
Oh, yeah. If you've ever watched even an episode of any anime ever, you probably know
A weird thing about it is every time I see someone eat it, it's like the hottest thing known to man.
Oh, it is. It's just molten lava inside because it's like not cooked all the way through. So the dough inside is like molten lava hot.
Oh, so it looks like kind of pancake good on the outside. But on the inside,
it's
a test. Oh, jeez.
It's a test of strength.
Okay, I can dig that. Next up, we have another song. It's Muku with Oyoge Taiyaki-kun.
ナンパ線が僕の冷たさ 時々冷めにいじめられるけど、そんなとかそうさ言えるのさ。一日泳げば腹ペコさ、目玉もくるくる回っちゃう。たまにはエビでも食わなけら、塩水ばかりでふやけてしまう。
Moving on to our next little topic here, we have the topic and rise of, I suppose, themed cafes.
The rise of the themed cafes.
Yeah, they've become quite popular, both here in Canada, at least as I know, and definitely in Japan. Do you have any themed cafes in America?
Just hipster-themed cafes and screenwriter-themed cafes. I don't know of any off the top of my head, but that doesn't mean that they don't exist. I'm sure one of our listeners will be like, oh yeah, there's a great maid cafe in New York City. And it's not really my thing, but we do have, you know what? That's not actually true. We do have stuff like cat cafes.
Mm-hmm.
But whereas in Japan, they're more like just places to go hang out with cats. In America, sorry, cold brew. So sorry. In America, we are kind of like, what do I want to say? We're not allowed to actually have like a running cafe that just has animals running around.
Yeah.
So these are more like places where a local humane society or animal shelter wants to get certain cats adopted. So they allow them to run around while you kind of hang out with the cats, have some coffee. And so they want you to more like get to know the cats and adopt them rather than just go there to hang out with animals and such.
Yeah, the cat cafe in Toronto does exactly the same thing. They just want to show these cats off and get them adopted, and you can chill with them.
Mm.
Yeah.
I know in Japan, it's more about how a lot of apartments actually forbid pets, and mm-hmm. so it's a way for people to kind of like still get the interaction with animals, even if their management company doesn't allow them to have their own.
Yeah, exactly. And the animal cafes in Japan have a lot more variety. Here we just have cat cafes. In Japan, they have hedgehog cafes, Shiba cafes, otter cafes, you name it. There's a meerkat cafe, I think.
Well, that's otter nonsense.
Going
with the joke.
But then there's also the ever popular and constantly talked about in anime, the maid cafe.
Yes, there is. The only thing I know about maid cafes are what I see in animes and drama. So I'm picturing in my head a lot of omurice with mm-hmm. little hearts drawn on them and ketchup, and a lot of young women in maid costumes. I don't know how far off I am from the truth and all that.
You are not far off at all. There's actually a maid cafe in Toronto called Uncle Tetsu's Angel Cafe. Shout out, not sponsored. And it's exactly how you just described it. They have omurice on the menu, and they ask you what you would like on it. They'll draw you a little cat if you ask for it, and write like "daisuki" on it. And lots of young women in maid costumes, and they actually dance and perform anime songs. They have like a sub idol group there, and it's actually really fun.
I think I might have to take a trip up to Toronto just to see this firsthand.
Oh, dude, it's amazing.
Now, the first permanent maid cafe with the Victorian-era theme was established in Akihabara in Tokyo in March of 2001, and the largest maid cafe chain, there are chains of these, has over 500 maids at 16 different restaurants. And the musical performance of Quality Service Cleanliness Smile, and they perform at stores in Japan and have appeared at Anime Expo.
They have their own idol group. I love it.
Now, have you ever been to a butler cafe?
You know, I really toyed with the idea when I was in Japan, and I even looked up a few, but I didn't end up going to any.
Oh, well, you should have gone to the most famous one. I'm reading facts, apparently, because I know nothing about butler cafes, which is the most famous is known as Swallowtail, which is an all-Japanese staff. But the Butler's Cafe, opened in 2006 in Shibuya, employs foreign men, though mostly, if not all, Caucasian. And they recite and memorize monologues trying to treat customers like princesses. So I think now I have my chance to really be the butler I always wanted to be.
Yeah. All you have to do is call women Hime-sama.
Yeah. And I think I could, you know what? No, I don't think I could do that. they would say like a 31-year-old sir. No, thank you. We're quite good. Thank you.
We're not hiring at this time, but...
Oh, it's so weird. We're not hiring. Like, the second you came in, we stopped hiring. I'm so, so sorry.
I mean, don't give up on your dream. I'm sure there's a cafe specifically for you with all these themes going on.
One day there's a cafe out there for me. That's the song I sing at night to the full moon. Unfortunately, some cafes like the Cat's Paw Cafe in Tokyo were ordered to close for violating animal cruelty laws, which is not cool. They're often confining animals to a natural environment, subjecting them to constant handling, overcrowding, and a lack of veterinary care. Now, while we're all having fun here, if you want to go check out some of these cat cafes and animal cafes in Japan, just do your research and kind of see which ones are actually cool to the animals, you know, because we all want to have fun, but, you know, there are animals involved.
Yeah, it's all fun and games. Just make sure that the kitty cats are being treated fine.
Indeed. Now, when I say the phrase Kit Cats, what do you think of?
Have a break, have a Kit Kat.
Exactly. But in Japanese, kitokatsu is a phrase meaning you will surely win, which means Kit Kats become good luck charms, particularly among students that are going into exams. There are also over 200 different flavors of Kit Kats in Japan. Have you ever tried any Japanese Kit Kats?
I have. I've had quite a few. I had a wasabi flavored one. It was actually very, very good.
I cannot possibly see that being good.
It was. You don't knock until you tried it.
No, that's your misguided Canadian taste buds. That's no. There's no Tim Horton wasabi flavor. No, that's you know, it's probably delicious. I'm going to be proven wrong one day.
One day I'll send you some and your mind will be blown.
I have had the cherry blossom variety. Mm-hmm. That was ridiculously good. It was like cherry blossom and white chocolate, and it cost an arm and a leg to get it here, so yep. It's a one-time treat. But they also have flavors like blueberry cheesecake, miso. They have caramel pudding. Now, I don't know about a miso-flavored Kit Kat. That genuinely sounds like the worst idea ever created, but what do I know again?
Yeah, I'm siding with you on that one, though. That sounds a little suspect.
Yeah.
Japan does do their chocolates really, really well, though. Even all their special edition, everything is usually top notch.
I used to be really addicted to these variety of Pocky, which Pocky is like, if you don't know, listener, Pocky is like, how could you not? Pocky are these little pretzel sticks that come covered in chocolate or like different kind of flavorings. And they used to have these like Pocky for men, and they were like super dark chocolate with almonds, and there's like, I could eat an entire pack over the course of two episodes of One Piece. But they were so, so delicious. I'm glad I've kicked the habit, you know, because my waistline and pocketbook can't handle it anymore.
Your pocketbook?
My pocketbook. Oh, did it.
I have some in me too.
But if you go search out crazy flavors like that, and they make amazing gifts as well. If you have any super cool friends who are into trying weird flavors of candy.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
All right. Do you want to kick us over to our next song?
Sure. Our number three song is Sid with Café de Bossa.
We are currently looking for amazing additions to our staff. So if you're interested in joining our team, if you've ever thought of applying and joining the biggest and best Japanese music-based podcast, see our website at jtop10.jp/join for full details.
And are you a Japanese indie music artist? If you create Japanese music and you would like some exposure, please get in touch with our music director, Rekka, by sending her an email at rekka@jtop10.jp, along with a song you'd like us to feature on the podcast. Our Japanese translator, Miki, will now be announcing this message in Japanese for our Japanese listeners.
インディーズミュージシャンの方へお知らせです。ご自身が作った日本の曲を宣伝したいとお考えでしたら、私たちの音楽監督、レッカまでメールでご連絡ください。アドレスは recca@jtop10.jp です。recca@jtop10.jp です。メールにポッドキャストで取り上げてほしい曲を忘れず添付してください。
Now, Japan is known for some unusual cooking-based YouTube channels and some beautifully inspiring cookbooks. I have a couple off to my left, which I'll throw some recommendations out towards the end of this. But have you ever had any experiences trying to cook Japanese food?
Yeah, actually. At my high school, we used to have Multicultural Day.So I joined the Japanese club for that multicultural day, and we had to put on a performance, but also make food from said culture. So I was actually helping make tempura for like a class of, oh God, how many people were in my high school? Like 800?
Oh, geez.
It was like a king-size serving of tempura, and it was amazing. It actually turned out really good.
So you ran some sort of small-level tempura restaurant?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Jeez, 800 people. My class was like 80?
Oh, God.
Wow. Yeah, I believe I can handle 80. 800's stretching a little bit.
Well, we were cooking for the entire high school.
Oh, the entire high school.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about
everyone,
you?
Well, I think the last thing I had a goal to cook more Japanese food, or at least try to create some new recipes. I think the last one I made was okonomiyaki. I didn't have any of the QP mayonnaise that you're supposed to like drizzle on top, because of course you put mayonnaise on top of everything. But so I did this like little replacement of like mayonnaise with like some sweetener and blah, blah, blah. And it did not turn out great.
No.
So there was a tummy ache involved, but that's not Okonomiyaki's fault. I will never blame you, Okonomiyaki, for being who you are. I think the best thing I made that was Japanese was probably, it's not really Japanese, but Japanese curry.
I love Japanese curry.
Huge fan of Japanese curry. And it just makes a ton of it. And it's so nice in these Midwest winters to just have a pot of curry whenever you can. Like, it's so, so delicious.
Warms your body and your soul.
Exactly.
And for those of you listening who don't know, Japanese curry isn't exactly like Indian curry, and it's not like Thai curry. It has its own different set of flavor profiles. It's like more deep and robust and not exactly spicy.
Yeah, it's more like warming and a little bit, honestly, it kind of tastes a little bit like gravy, but like in a really good way.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any... do you follow any Japanese cooking, like, YouTube channels or Instagrams or anything?
I do, but I only follow the ones that involve animal sidekicks, like Cooking with Dog and June's Kitchen.
I loved Cooking with Dog. I'm so sad they don't do it anymore, but that was one of the first introductions to Japanese cooking that I remember, was, like, just scrolling through YouTube and watching this. It's weird when you watch it, because the... It's essentially this woman who's just cooking. She's not saying anything. Overall, she's not saying a lot. But the dog is doing all of the narration. Francis.
I love Francis.
Francis.
And he speaks in English.
He does. He's so multicultural.
He's so talented.
His English is much better than my Japanese.
Yeah, I'd say so for myself as well.
But if you ever get a chance, check out old episodes of Cooking with Dog. And June's Kitchen's also really good. I watch... Not just June's Kitchen, I also watch him and his wife's other YouTube episodes as well.
Yeah, Rachel and June.
Yeah, I watch those as well. So those are some really nice videos to check out. Now, as a cat owner, he just has like a bunch of cats who just watch him while he cooks.
It's the most relaxing content on YouTube, I'd say.
It really is. They're just like sitting there chilling while he cooks, and they don't really care. I'm like, my cat is everywhere. when I'm trying to cook. I'm constantly like, please don't touch the potatoes. Please don't touch the potatoes. Okay, well, I guess we're not having potatoes today.
Well, the potatoes are on the floor now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Margot. I appreciate it. Now, as far as cookbooks go, I can actually recommend a couple because I'm much more of a cookbook collector than anything else. There's Japanese Soul Cooking. You're going to find a lot of ramen recipes. You'll find a lot of Japanese curry recipes, tonkatsu, all these, any kind of like Western style as well, like hamburger steak and all these things like that. Japanese Cooking, A Simple Art. Spoiler alert, it's not very simple. but it's a very good recipe book as well. But the first one I actually got was a cookbook called Harumi's Japanese Cooking. And it is a cookbook by Harumi Kurihara, who is Japan's most popular cookery writer. She was called the Martha Stewart of Japan.
Oh.
And she also hosted the 2013 NHK World Your Japanese Kitchen. As the author of Tsuteki Recipe Magazine and has sold over 5 million copies, 20 best-selling cookbooks, a line of cookware, etc., etc. She's everywhere.
She's just going in.
Yeah, she's
amazing. She loves to cook. She's going to make you love cooking.
She's going to make you love cooking. I know you don't love it right now. Just get the cookbook, and by the end of it, you will consider her your sensei. And whipping up the best tofu steak, and it's it's amazing.
She's doing work. You take a swig of your drink.
It's a little swig of cold brew. Never heard anybody.
So you may have heard Eric mention that he is sipping on something to help wash down some of his lovely treats earlier on. So using that as a transition, let's talk about some of the refreshments, Japanese drinks and refreshments like soda and canned coffee and green tea.
Those are two really good drinks from Japan, I will say.
I do love bottled green tea. It's really good.
I always assume it's going to be sweetened.
It never is.
It never is. It always gets me. I'm like, ooh, soda. And I take a drink and I'm horribly disappointed by it.
What would your favorite drink be, would you say?
Ramune soda, right?
Yeah, that's
good.
With
a little marble in it. Just like a classic flavor. It's delicious and bubbly and sweet, unlike so many a green tea. but I totally dig that. Japanese drinks. I think just that is really the only. Oh, also, I've been known to dabble in odd flavored soda, like weird, like wasabi Coke or melon Pepsi or any of these
special edition,
exactly
flavored drinks that Japan loves to make.
Yes, so if I get my hands on one of those, I'll take a swig or two, but I tend to just stick to those. What about you?
A good choice. I would say I really do like ramune too. I found an orange ramune and it was mind-blowingly amazing. But I would say I actually found a drink because Japan loves their like vitamin C drinks.
Yeah.
There was a drink called Match, which was just a really, really lemony vitamin C drink, and it was amazing. I loved it so much.
We now know that you are a fan of the bottled green tea.
Mm-hmm.
Are you also a coffee drinker?
I typically shy away from coffee unless it's sweet, and I know that's heinous of me to say for any coffee lovers out there.
I'm sorry, y'all. It's, you know, sweet coffee. Who could ever drink a sweet coffee?
Don't listen to the Canadian.
And sad.
Don't listen to the Canadian. We have double doubles over here.
I'm a big coffee drinker.
Mm-hmm.
I will drink tea sometimes as a way to be like, well, you know, I don't need coffee today, and then I have the tea and it does nothing. So
I'll switch over from my bean water to leaf water.
Leaf water, that's the ticket. And then you have some and it's like, oh, this literally does nothing for anybody. So I go back to feeling anxious and sipping on my bean water. Actually, in the barista world, which is how I make my cheddar, out of Japan, they actually have one of the most popular, it's called pour over coffee, which is where you make like just one cup at a time or a few cups at a time by hand. A company called Hario makes one of the most popular brands of that. It's called a V60. If you're ever looking into becoming a home barista, that's a great way to go. But with coffee in Japan, it's not really a super modern thing. It was actually introduced by Dutch trading ships. And the first coffee shop was founded in 1888.
Oof.
In the 19th century, that's the 19th century, right? Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, 19th century.
Brazil, which is today's largest coffee producer, chose Japan as the first target of overseas marketing. And in 1907, the first coffee chain in the world was established in Tokyo and Osaka.
Oh, that's actually really fascinating. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's the history of Japan and coffee is really, really interesting and unique in the way that they approach everything about it. It shows you how much of a coffee nerd I am. I will watch like videos of like the older Japanese coffee shops and how they make coffee versus like how newer people make coffee, which makes me sound like the most boring person in the world, which maybe I am. but it's just genuinely interesting to watch.
Oh, for sure. And if you ever played Persona 5, you probably have a new appreciation for coffee as well, because your dad runs a coffee and curry shop.
I love that game so much for that reason. It's like I would get off of work at a coffee shop and go home and play a fictional world where I worked in the coffee shop.
Yeah. Did you know that Japanese coffee can restore your SP?
That's all I've ever wanted. My SP is so low, Aaron, and I have to go get Japanese coffee. How are your SP levels doing? Is everything all right in Canada?
Oh, it's cold. My SP is pretty low, but for our taste test, I actually have some Japanese coffee. So we'll see if that can raise my SP by a couple points or not. Possibly five points.
While you have a sip of a swig, as I'm saying now, of your coffee, I'll give a little fact. Now, this is the Boss Rainbow blend.
Yes, it is. Apparently, it is supposed to be sweet.
Ooh.
So, perfect for me.
The coffee beans were selected from 7 regions of Guatemala, has a rich flavor and aroma, and can be consumed hot or cold.
Mine is currently cold. I've had it sitting in my fridge all day, and it does actually smell amazing.
Now, if you look on the front there, there is a image of the American writer William Faulkner. There's a portrait of him smoking a pipe on a balcony in the Hollywood, California in the early 1940s, and he took that image and put it on the front.
Oh, that's who it's supposed to be. That's the boss himself.
It
and
is.
I must tell you, this is actually excellent coffee.
Nice.
It's delicious.
Is it indeed sweet?
It's not very sweet, though. It's just the right amount of sweetness, I'd say.
Well, good. Now, have you ever seen the commercials for this?
No.
They are, if you're a fan of just seeing American actors in Japanese commercials, Tommy Lee Jones. Now, I'm going to repeat that. Tommy Lee Jones is the star of these commercials where he plays an alien who comes to Earth to learn more about humanity.
Do they offer him coffee?
Yeah, every single, at the end of every episode, it's a serial, it's a series of commercials. It becomes a story after a while. It's amazing.
It's got its own Marvel universe.
It does. I think I'm fairly certain that there is a crossover with the SoftBank commercials. but he always ends up drinking a can of Boss. He learns to like love Inca music, and he learns about how moving companies work. It's like the gravitas in his performance is, I believe, Academy Award winning in these commercials.
I had absolutely no idea where that sentence was going, and every word that came out of your mouth just threw me for a loop.
I know, it sounds like the ravings of a madman hopped up on Boss Coffee, but it's genuinely one of the greatest things that the internet has ever offered me.
Oh, Japan, you are masters of advertisement.
All right, our next song is by Lisa, and it's called Orange Cider.
Thank you.
Want to advertise on our podcast? Market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts out there. Reach up to a potential of 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that'll fit your company's budget. Find the full details at jtop10.jp or email our sales manager, Amanda, at amanda@jtop10.jp to find an advertising plan that'll suit your company's needs.
Now, Aaron, yes. We all know that you do like sweet coffee. Do you also enjoy candy?
I love candy.
Good. Well, we have a horrible thing for you to eat.
I know.
This entire episode, we've been really worrying about this final thing that we're going to try. So we're going to put it off just a little bit further and talk about some actually good Japanese candy.
Yes. Truth be told, we don't hate all Japanese candy.
No.
Just a specific kind that we're not looking forward to. What is your favorite type of Japanese candy?
I typically like I like the gum a lot. I feel like the actual
yes.
candy stuff is a little too sweet for me sometimes.
Mm.
But like I'll eat like oh gosh, what's that? It's like it's a gum that also is caffeinated.
What?
It's called like black something. It's so good. It's like literally it's like you just like pop a stick of coffee and
whoa,
it's amazing.
That's crazy.
And there are also these little like Pokemon candies that I used to
yes.
totally go nuts for. What about you?
I actually really like wagashi, which is the traditional Japanese candy. That's their little word for it. I really, really like mochi. Mochi and like daifuku.
I've never had mochi.
Mm.
Is it really the bee's knees that Instagram makes it out to be?
I personally think so. It has a very, well, they call it actually in Japan. If something's like springy and chewy, they call it mochi mochi because that's the feeling of mochi on your teeth. It's
okay.
Very chewy and light. I love that feeling. And mochi is not entirely sweet. It's just a glutinous rice cake and has a little bit of sweetness, sometimes some red bean in it. So if you're not a fan of overly sweet things, you'd probably really like mochi.
All right. I think we have officially put it off for as long as we can, Aaron.
I don't want to give into it.
All right. We got to try these things. This sound right here. This is the sound of our upcoming doom. Let's see here. Now,
ASMR.
Umeboshi, or I'm sure I'm mangling that.
Umeboshi.
Umeboshi is a pickled plum. You may see it in a lot of like bento box pictures.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little red plum that's in the middle of the rice bed that makes it
yes.
look like a Japanese flag. It's supposed to like help with like rice digestion and like help to like keep the rice good while it's in a bento
oh.
box.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, because it's pickled and whatnot. But
oh, that makes sense.
These, and I told Aaron this when we first started recording, I don't know how salt can smell old, but that's what it smells like to me. And I'm not particularly happy, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
I luckily have some other candy to wash this down with after.
But oh, you lucky
I'm not
duck.
Excited for this.
Now, is yours the same as mine?
I believe so. The little black package with the strong plum.
See, I got the red package. I only have one. I only have one strong plum. He looks very meditative on the front.
Oh, it's basically the same. It's just a different colored package. I'd say.
It's the same kind of terrible.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna do a double taste test on this one. So one, two, right. three.
I'm not excited.
Oh no.
Yep, hate it.
That's garbage.
tastes like grass.
That's okay. All right, I'm gonna spit this out real quick.
Yep. Me too.
Yeah. No, sir.
Not a fan.
No.
Not a fan.
This is gonna sound weird, but there's a Swedish candy that's salted licorice.
Yes, I've heard of that.
That's kind of what it tastes like. Not as bad.
The salt part, though.
It's the salt. It's sweet and salt. I don't. Yeah, that's not. That's never gonna be a thing for me.
Yeah, I'm gonna skip right ahead. You can take a swig of your cold brew,
yeah,
and I'm going to take a bite out of this other candy I have, which is a Hokkaido Milk soft candy. So this is going to probably taste absolutely amazing, because Hokkaido milk, if you do not know, is some of the best milk in all of Japan. And yep, it just tastes like if you made condensed milk into a chewy, lovely, creamy candy.
See, and that sounds amazing, whereas if you take a salty, sad plum and make it into a candy, not as good.
Not as enjoyable.
All right. So this kind of wraps up this Cultures episode.
It does, but I'm still chewing.
I know. Hopefully this hasn't left as much of a bitter taste in your mouth as it has in mine.
Oh, it hasn't. I have a lovely milk taste.
I know. You are so lucky. I'm going to talk to the producer and see if I can get a redo on some of these candies. I feel like I'm owed at least a couple of Pockies.
We need to talk to the man in charge.
So if you're enjoying this episode and you want to learn more about different aspects of Japanese culture, let us know if this is a segment that you want us to continue. We need your feedback on what worked, what didn't, what you want to hear more of, and what we need to change. Probably the candy options, but just make sure to send us a message and let us know.
Yep, we always appreciate your feedback and we thrive off it.
Our final song is Karuta Roro Mia with Sweets Parade.
アイスクリームとプリンのお城でカスタードわたぬき二人のランデブー
So thank you everyone for listening to this wonderful and hopefully a little bit more enlightening episode on food in Japan. My name is Eric.
And I'm Aaron.
And hopefully this encourages you to go out wherever you are and try some Japanese food. You can follow us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. Check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever you use to listen to the podcast. Leave us a review, and we'll see you next time on Japan Top 10. We hope.
Yes, we hope you have a sweet day.
Oh, jeez.
Japan Top 10.
One day there's a cafe out there for me.
Daisuki.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.